Yes.
If you want to eliminate non-residents and foreigners, why don't you raise the license to about $10,000, and let them use that for employment? They're way too low. It's the cheapest place in the world to come to hunt. And in Africa, there are some people in Frontier Sporting Goods, they paid $10,000 or something to go down there and hunt, and they quit the hunting, they all bought it, they're keeping them out, they lost their deposit or anything else. So there apparently is a way to regulate people from coming in, I realize this is what they're doing. They said there's no more hunting in the world.
Yes.
The law stands now, Alaska residents does not need a guide to hunt big game. Why not just do away with the Alaska guide system? That would eliminate 90% of your area hunting, and all non-residents.
Well, that would really make some fur fly.
That's a
Niagara City order, guys.
What is your name, sir?
Harvey Strasburg.
Harvey Strasburg, yeah. We'll definitely be looking at that one. I think it's interesting because...
Gerald, I'm
Charlie.
I'd say that everybody is really concerned about control. In this new bill that you say they're going to possibly declare regional boards to control or to govern those areas, what is in there about control? Who would be doing the control? Is the state fish and game or protection people? Are they going to be the ones to control this area and enforce the regional rules? But also, what is subsistence?
Dear to me, and a lot of people that, you know, make more money than other people in a lower income bracket, you know, I like to go up all the river and hunt where my grandfather's and my parents came from. My grandfather buried up there. That's, you know, 3 barrels of gas for me. I mean, I could go out there and buy a side of beef with 3 barrels of gas now. I'd rather spend 3 barrels of gas to go up there and get a moose. That getting the moose is not the main goal. Exercising that lifestyle. I go out and set a couple of rabbits in there. And that means a hell of a lot. That's my lifestyle. I could have had an opportunity to work in Fairbanks or Anchorage for twice the money I'm making here, if not more. But I value this lifestyle up there, and that's a hell of a big weight for a lot of us here.
Sir, I'm sorry I skipped over.
Yeah, it seems to me that. How come that the state can't control our subsistence lifestyle with moose, you know? Where the state can control the fish that come up Kite River in the Yukon, that you have to have so many years of fishing or something like that in order to buy a commercial license. If the state can control that, I don't think it took money to do that from the state. I think it took money from the individual, the people that got the money, in order to control that. It seems to me we're just going to merry-go-round. Pretty soon somebody will be hunting moose in the satellite.
I wanted to answer, or try to answer a couple of the questions that were asked in the back there. What is subsistence? That's primarily the reason why we're holding hearings. We're trying to find out how people feel about the term subsistence and how should it be defined, and whether or not it should be defined or not, I don't know. That's why we're holding hearings throughout the state. I'm trying to find out in my own mind just exactly how we ought to try to approach this, and getting recommendations directly from you people is what I want. Who's going to patrol? The way I envision this game board, fish and game board working, it would be on the local level, and I do believe that since other suggestions in other parts of the state have been made, that local people be given the authority to patrol, so that, you know, they know who's hunting and where and who's coming in and what's being taken out and so forth. I think that idea is going to probably carry a lot more weight than it ever has in the past, because people weren't listening to us and really believe that that's the way it should be done. And I heard it again tonight. It's been stated over and over again in other hearings we've held throughout the state. So I think that kind of an idea is going to catch on. But as far as defining subsistence, as I said before, it's extremely difficult. It's not an easy job. The more I get into it, and we've been working with it, and the staff has been working with it on a daily basis now since, almost since the session adjourned in the first part of June, and the more we get into it, the more complex it becomes. The harder it gets to deal with the issue, because one thing that we're finding out, as these gentlemen have pointed out and other people have stated, that every area is so different, there's no way that you can define subsistence to fit the people in Bristol Bay, and it's not going to fit in the Yukon area. You're not going to be able to define subsistence up in Barrow that's going to fit Cook Inlet and Kodiak. So it's going to have to be flexible. It's going to have to be regionalized, and how it's defined, I think it's going to have to be left with the people to define it for themselves, so that they're satisfied. So that, you know, believe it or not, that rat race down in Juneau comes up with the strangest ideas. Even after they've heard people speak, they still seem can't get the message right and do kind of the right kind of job that you want them to do. So I think the more we get down to the local level and get people involved with this particular definition and enforcement and so forth, I think more people are going to be happier that way. Steve, do you have anything? Yes, sir.
Yeah. This is the first time that we've ever been invited to any meeting of any sort. I mean, we've been invited before, but they knew damn well that we couldn't afford it. And this is the first time that we've been invited. And I'd like to hear what you have to say on regionalization. Because I see it in Thunder Times, but I never see it in my letters and correspondence that we will soon be in Northwest District. But even if we are in Northwest District from Yukon on up or Fairbanks on up, that still doesn't cover us. Like I say, subsistence is different in every village. You cannot do it by regionalization alone, but that's a start. I'd just like to hear more on your creating more districts, because if there is a new district created in Northwest, say, of Yukon on up, or Fairbanks on up, you know, we're in there, but we're totally different from most of the people that will be representing us.
Well, the bill, the proposed bill that we've had Legislative Affairs draft for us has not been formally presented to the legislature yet. We have to make that. We have to present that to the Legislative Council, and then I think they then take it from there. I suppose to be introduced by the Rules Committee, by the Legislative Council on behalf of the Subsistence Committee. The details of it are really not. You know, they're not. They haven't been worked out yet. All we're talking about is a concept. We're talking about getting more control into your hands. How it's going to be. How the region is going to handle your problem, talking about your differences from various parts of the, you know, within the region. I don't know how that's going to be dealt with. Hopefully, your problem will be satisfied. That's the best I can, you know, the best I can give you right now.
I'm sure you're here to, you're collecting testimony on definition of subsistence. I would ask then that everyone that spoke up tonight, that you record everyone and hear everyone as to subsistence or not. I mean, which way you go? you can delve under comments when you go back. And it should be very clear in our comments that which way we stand. And I can say this much. I'm proud of subsistence living, and that's our life. I want you to understand that.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Chairman? I think we're all here for a reason. That once you leave here, then you go to a meeting to another to collect our testimony. Trying to find a way of best subsistence living for us. Is that so?
That's what we're going to try to do, yes.
Well, I think each and every one of us here, right now, we all have a little area. We all have a small area. We all have a small village where we come from. I think the way of hearing it should be not the way each the fishing game put it, just like each unit, but hearing from each village which way their lifestyle might be. Each and every one of us, our lifestyles might be different than other villages, although we all respect each other's lifestyle. But just like what I said before, and hopefully you wrote it down, that is our lifestyle in our home area, and I think each other villages have their own lifestyle. And I think that's the way it should be heard. Just like maybe they might be a unit, just like the way the fishing game put it, a unit of certain so-and-so. Maybe a certain village don't stick in that unit. Maybe it wouldn't stick in there.
When you get right down to it, I think what we're talking about is local people versus people who come in from outside the region. That's really what we're talking about. One thing that a lot of people in the cities don't understand is that in a lot of the villages, there's no such thing as a cash economy, or it really isn't, what's going on there. Most of the villages came into being because of the subsistence lifestyle. That's the reason the villages are there to start with. And it's still the reason they're there. And people have to recognize that. People in Anchorage and Fairbanks and Juneau have to recognize that fact. That if you take away if you don't make a special allowance for subsistence living, that style of life is going to have to vanish. And I think you have to do it. You have to make allowance for subsistence hunting and fishing and make a preference for it. I think you do. The question that we have to decide, I think, pretty quick, is how are we going to do it, and do it fairly to everybody concerned.
Yes. I agree with you so far. But you cannot fight progress. Maybe you can stall it, but you cannot fight it. Maybe every one of us in this house will be in a grave. And it'll be stalled that far, but you cannot fight progress. One day, we'll be living like you, Mr. Cooper.
Yes.
I'll avoid the wise. I wouldn't wish it on you.
As my friends have clearly stated, there's progress, and there's settlement, and our government is representative. Okay. I know for a fact that reapportionment of our certain districts, governing districts, is coming up. And you know that 65 out of our maybe 100 representatives will come out of Anchorage. Now, does this hearing have any bearing on that? They can vote us down anytime they want.
Does what now?
Does reapportionment
have anything to do with what we're doing?
Mm-hmm.
No. I wouldn't say so. But you're right, though. Reapportionment is going to mean more urban legislators. You're going to have more, you know, the majority of the House and Senate will come from Anchorage alone.
That doesn't, of course, I'm from Anchorage. I represent Northeast Anchorage. It's about as rural as Anchorage gets. And we're, you know, most of the people from Anchorage, I think, or at least the people in the legislature, are considered to be reasonable people. And the few of us that do get a chance to get out and talk to people that claim they have a subsistence way of life, I think appreciate it. And just because the population in Anchorage may turn out to be greater than half the population of Alaska, well, the Constitution requires that many legislators come out of Anchorage, and it's a one-man, one-vote deal. But it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to vote you down or vote against a subsistence way of life. And I think that even now, Nels will agree that many people from urban areas are very sympathetic towards the question. And as Representative Cooper pointed out, we're trying to really write down the ways that will protect what most people now agree to be a subsistence way of life.
Mr. Chairman, what you're saying is right, but there's a transition period too, you know, and maybe what we're saying is that if we have to make a preference for subsistence hunting and fishing now, and we have to decide among those people who gets the rights, then maybe we ought to go in terms of economics. Maybe the person who needs it the most ought to have first crack at it. Maybe that's the way you go.
I always
remember
that.
Sure. Sam? And then you. Sam?
I would say that's not right, because in Caltech, going back to this fishing permit, there was a resident in Caltech that wanted a permit, and he'd worked on a pipeline for a year or 2 years previous to that, and he could not qualify for that permit that season because he made too much money the year before. Now, he maybe spent all his money building a new home or sending his kids to school or medical bills or whatever have you. But he wanted to live in Caltech as his home. He wanted to fish there commercially, but he could not qualify for a permit. So I don't think that's the right approach either. If you want to keep the outside hunters out of here, you want to protect the lifestyle for everybody in this room that wants to go out here and enjoy this country, and that's why they enjoy living here, then you're going to have to set up a 100-mile limit around here for the residents only. For anybody in Unit 21 can hunt in Unit 21. If other people come in here, perhaps sell them a permit for $1,000 or some fee or something, and then chop it off if there's not enough game. And you go out in that approach if you really want to protect the lifestyle of people around Bethel or White Barrels. Like a fellow told me, he says, keep them cotton picking people out of here. He says, I don't go to Fairbanks with the money. Why do they come down here? They shut all their game off and money doesn't want to hear from our dog. So
no more news.
He's got a lot to say there.
Well, that wasn't really what I was saying, though. I was saying that if you have to choose among the people who qualify as local residents.
If you look deep enough, you can always find somebody you know.
Yeah, but who's gonna qualify here? Because a lot of people here make $10,000 a year, $20,000, $30,000. They can afford to be, but they like to go out to hunt, enjoy it. To go hunting.
Well, yeah, okay, but if you have
sport hunting,
but if you can't shoot for 200 moose and you've got 400 people that qualify as subsistence users, who's gonna get the 200 moose? The people that need it worse from a money standpoint?
Well, locally here at this point, I don't think you have that problem.
But what if you do have a problem?
Well, hopefully that's, if you keep the outsiders out and you shoot a few wolves here, you'll have enough goddamn wolves that we won't have that problem.
Okay.
We don't have that big a population in Unit 21 at this time.
Maybe one of the aspects of things you could do is to make a qualified residency in Alaska. If a person has lived here all his life, he should have to look back at the statistics. I think that's one of the ways you can use to qualify as subsistence on our fishing.
Well, you know, we have a limited entry program for our fishing, and they use, you know, several criteria. They use economics, number of years that you fish, and so forth. That all weighs into who gets a limited entry permit. And it seems to me that there's a way that we could probably get it through some kind of a permit process. If we have to do that, then that'll probably be the way we do it. But it works for limited entry for fishing. It stood the court test, and it seems to be holding up. I don't know how much good it's doing, but the law itself is sound. Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman,
They had to put a fully frosted for 8 years. And finally decided after about 40 years, the residents of the same place, they decided they were going to crush the fish and have no points or anything. Started the point system in 1971, I believe. It was 75. Therefore, they put in the application for no commercial fishing license, no points. And sell it for commercial fishing all these years. They've been fishing for 4 years. They were denied to it. We brought this subject up, but I was in a fishing game on a board meeting in Pana Station. There are fabulous people up here, all up and up, and Kamana, Mark Village, all of this, 500 people were present. We brought this to all of us because there was never a fishing game there, and there's a fishing game, there's the fishing, All these people brought this in. Some of the people there lived there left enough all their years. They didn't fish in 74. So there were 9 points. We brought this up with fishing game, and he said, well, the guy wasn't there in fishing 74, so they lost the point. The guy was fishing there for 40 years. He crossed the same way. Fishing there for 50 years.
Same way in Dillingham.
All over.
The same thing in Dillingham. I don't have a limited entry permit, and I've been fishing too, so
right.
I know the law isn't perfect. We're not here to talk about limited entry anyway. That's a whole bag of worms. I can't answer that because I don't know. I can't answer. I wish you could have a limited entry permit. I wish I could have it too.
Well, I know
what
you can't answer, but no deficient game. We're going to have some kind of
well, the fishing game.
Somewhere another, they're going to keep this guy to grace after 40 years of fishing there and you can't
remember. The fishing game doesn't have anything to do with it now. It's a limited entry commission that administers that program. I don't know. I can't answer that. I don't know what the limited entry commission is going to do.
I know. They couldn't answer it either.
Bill?
Yes.
Before we deal with the limited entry thing, as related to the most particular, you go into the limited entry concept. What he's saying could apply to, you know, where, you know, there's 1977 this year, you know, they do the law this year, 5 years from now, I'd gone through something, you know, maybe not this past 5 years, maybe I was out somewhere, you know, and I'd come back and want to shoot moose, you know, because I live out here. I'll still want that right, but I'll be refused one under the present.
The other thing is, on the limited entry, they have a way of, you can prove whether or not you fish, but because you sold fish tickets or you had commercial gear licenses, whereas for subsistence, as you said, people don't go out and write it down, so it'd be hard to prove when you did.
Listen, sir, you couldn't deny the right of a guy after fishing 40 years. You couldn't deny the right to fish after you fish all his life right down the river there. And because he didn't commercial fish, he didn't deny your permit.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to answer. We dealt him and I with a couple times. One of the things that you were not denied the right to fish. You could fish subsistence as you had been fishing prior. Continue that fishing, but you cannot sell it.
I wonder if the guys that fished for 50 years, 40 years, 50 years, how many want a commercial fish? They can't ever fish.
Because they never commercial fish before. They was fished on subsistence.
Well, what's the difference?
Yes, sir.
Is it by the fishing here or someplace or what?
By the way, on limited entry, on fishing. I was born in 1939, and I start remembering maybe when I was 3 or 4 years old. And my old man brought us down from all the way from Hoosley. Hoosley wasn't there yet then. Cutoff was there. He brought us down to Yukon. Mm-hmm. Up until 1957, 1958, he brought us down to Yukon to go fishing. I can't get no commercial license right now. I'm not qualified. I'm not a qualified fisherman. And my old man used to get more fish down here at Lokaikuk, I think, than anybody else used to get fish. And I'm not a fisherman. I couldn't get commercial license.
Yeah, I was born in 1939, and I fished with my dad all my younger years and before I went into the service. And, I don't have a limited entry permit either. So I don't know what the answer is. I'd like to have one. I'll have to buy one, I guess.
I'll give you the answer to that. All you have to know is the right people. You know what I'll tell you?
But I was in the legislature. I should have known the right people.
You already got a job. You know, I really intended to. I really wanted to. And if I knew the right people, all I have to do is pull the right strings out of your life.
No.
But that ain't right. That ain't right.
I agree with you. I'd like to have one too, even though I've got a job.
To get away from fishing, the reason why the concept, is that pretty much favored by the areas that you testified for?
Yes.
What about the urban areas?
I don't have any idea.
I know when we had a meeting in Anchorage, and a couple of the people that testified, they got into some of the details of it and talked about things like caribou and so forth that would migrate between areas or fish downstream, you know, like you might have the board downstream on the Yukon saying you can do all the fishing you want and then cut the fish off from the people that live upstream. Well, sometimes you run into problems like that where you can't give total control to the individual districts, which is pretty obvious once you start thinking about it.
You mean on the migrating?
Well, yeah, on migrating type animals. Also, on a lot of people feel that, you know, we'd like to have the state continue to manage the fish and game. And if you just completely shut off all the outsiders from, say, Washington or other states, well, then the federal government might start to infringe upon the state's ability to manage. So most people agree that they're from the urban areas, I'll say, that testify, feel that they favored, even the sportsmen's associations from Anchorage that testified said they favored the concept but felt there was going to be some problems on the total regulatory powers that might be given to the districts.
The Udall bill is more or less your paralleling the Udall bill or working with it systematically Udall bill, right?
No, not really. I haven't even looked at the Udall bill as using that as a...
Well, they have those you comment on form your
Yeah, you mean the subsistence board?
The subsistence board would be the same, would parallel the regional board.
They could be the same thing. Right. The same people.
Yes. Go ahead.
There was a meeting last week at which people from the governor's office were in town to explain regionalization. And it seemed to me that there was some consensus at that meeting. One of the things that most of the people agreed to was that the regions were too big, and that it might be necessary to scale them down even to the village size in order to make any sense of them, any sense out of regionalization. Things were pointed out like there were three different lifestyles in at least three different lifestyles in one region. There was a coastal, there was an inland, and there was an urban. And there just doesn't seem to be any point.
Are we done talking about subsistence now? And because if we're done talking about subsistence, then I'll adjourn the meeting, and then you can talk about limited entry later. You have anything on subsistence?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I was just going to say that it's turning out more individual than subsistence. But just like about 3 weeks back, I got a letter back home saying that cut out trapping mink and otter. Because they were getting out to be non-existent. Well, yeah, mink was non-existent in our area a long time ago. Maybe we see one mink track, maybe about every 2 years. But maybe we see two or three. Well, they're existing now. When we see two or three tracks, and we get a letter saying they're non-existent, we better quit trapping them. I thought that was kind of crazy. And on otter, too, you know. It goes on, going to eat all our beaver up and things like that. And they were trying to outlaw that, too. I think that was kind of crazy. Somebody had an idea or some different area that had nothing to do with our area.
I think it was Washington State or somewhere, Oregon, down those areas are all concerned. And I don't think it's going to apply to Alaska. I think it's not going to apply to us up here. Yes,
Mr. Chairman, before you adjourn the meeting, I'd like to make an announcement that there is a Galena Advisory Board meeting just right after you get through.
Okay.
You can stay right here and have it.
Are there any other comments on subsistence from the public?
Yes, subsistence.
Okay. I heard you loud and clear. And if there aren't any comments, then what I'd like you to do, if you think of anything else between now and January, Dorothy Larson will give you our address, and we'd appreciate any letters or telegrams or anything else that you may like to share with us so that we can use it as we try to approach this problem. And I want to thank all of you for coming to the meeting tonight. We really appreciate your statements, and thank you very much for coming to the meeting. Hearing on subsistence.